Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Tradition Worship Center in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
This is my Bible as I look into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of God's Word. I see myself as God sees me. I am who He said I am. I have what He said I have. I can do what He said I can do. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, living seed of my living God. My heart is receptive. My mind is alert. And I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God, you may be seated.
You know, some people think, well, you know, at Mother's Day, you don't need to do anything specific on Mother's Day in your sermon, but that would be the biggest injustice that we could possibly have going out there, because without mommies, we'd be nobodies. How many of you know that's true? Amen. So happy Mother's Day. Praise God. Now, if you are a mother, a stepmom, a grandmother, a godmother, how many of you have godmothers? I have in South Africa. She's still alive. She's like 100. Praise God. I'm serious. I'm not joking. Auntie Martha. She's my godmother. A mother-in-law. Any of you got them? Amen. So we're covering everybody right now, okay? A mother through adoption, a foster mother, a spiritual mother, a single mother, a woman who longs to be a mother and is believing to be a mother. Can you say amen? A pregnant mother-to-be, maybe her first one, maybe she's got more. This message includes all of you. And then also, it includes the ones that honor you. All of us sitting around, honoring mothers of every type and shadow, because it's very important. And the Bible stresses the vital, important role of women in the imparting of faith. Mothers can impart a faith that is supernatural in a child's life. Now, I know it's better to have the mother and the father together, but if you just got the mother, she can still do it. If you just got the father, he can still do it. The best is that they both do it, but you are on your own, you can still do it. How many of you know that's the truth? Amen. And so I've seen it, the impartation of faith in my own wife. I see it with my kids, how she's imparted faith and correction and brought the word of God into their lives. I mean, I watch her all the time. And then I also experienced it in my own mother. My mother, who's with the Lord now, she went there in 1985. She explained to me things that I didn't know otherwise, and she got me into a place of faith and believing in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. So mothers are vitally important in the role of imparting faith into the children. Don't just take this as, well, you know, I'm just a mom, I'm a housewife. You're not married to the house, you're not a housewife. Amen. You've got a vitally important role to play. Amen. Now, not only in the Old Testament was it vital to have strong, good mothers, and you see how many women in the Old Testament were powerful women and mothers, but Paul calls out the mother of Timothy and his grandmother. You know that some of the grandmothers and some of the great-grandmothers are the matriarchs of the family. Some of the men didn't take their place as patriarchs, but the mothers, do you know that the matriarch mother has been responsible for leading the patriarch now fathers into the presence of God? How many women have got their husbands saved? I mean, we've prayed for women in this church for years trying to get their husbands saved. To be saved. And we've seen the results. We've seen the results. We've seen the results. Now they're saved. They finally find out. They take their role as a patriarch. That's the way it should be, right? But there are matriarch grandmothers, great-grandmothers, great-great-grandmothers that have prayed and have instilled faith into the children, and it's been passed down. That is vital, vital, vital. I'm telling you, it's amazing. And God honors mothers, and Timothy honors God honors Timothy's mother and grandmother through Paul mentioning what he mentions in 2 Timothy 1:5. Watch what he says here. As I think of your strong faith, that was, he's talking to Timothy, as I think of your strong faith that was passed down your family line. So first of all, it was a genuine, unfeigned, strong faith that the mother was demonstrating to Timothy. So watch what he says. Your strong faith that was passed down through your family line, it began with your grandmother Lois. It began with her. So she was a matriarch of that family. Watch her. Who passed it on to your dear mother Eunice. And how many of you had mothers that passed on their faith to you? Let me see your hands. You see, how, you had praying mothers, you had praying grandmothers. It came from back. Now watch here. And it's clear that you too are following in the footsteps of their godly example. And if Paul calls it admirable for mothers and grandmothers, then we should give a shout out for mothers and grandmothers as well. Because it's a vital role that they've played. I think of Billy Graham, the role that his mother played. I believe in my own life, I believe that Billy Graham was the second greatest evangelist on the planet next to Paul, the apostle. Obviously, Jesus is number one. But then the apostle Paul became an evangelist second to none but God. And then I believe Billy Graham. I really believe Billy Graham. I know we've got other great men and women of God that have led thousands to the Lord. But Billy Graham, there was something on him that God imparted into that man that he could raise 100,000 people in communist Russia and communist China. That doesn't happen. But he would go in there and he'd have 100,000 people there with God standing all around with machine guns. So. But now imagine his mother. I am certain, you read his story, that she imparted faith into him. Amen. So there's a touching moment in Romans 16 I want to look at. Paul is sending the personal greeting of his to his friends in Rome. And he says in Romans 16:13, greet Rufus, whom the Lord picked out. Now watch out. Who the Lord picked out to be his very own, and also his dear mother, who has been a mother to me. You're talking about who was Saul. He was a bad dude at one stage, thinking he was right. He was doing wrong things against children of God, Christians. And he's now saying this woman, Rufus, who was picked out by the Lord for his very own, and his mother, his dear mother, who has been a mother to me. I mean, what did he just say there? She's been a mother to me? How many of you have had other women that were a mother to you? Or like a mother to you? It could have been the grandmother. It could have been someone else. But they took the place of a mother, or they were like a second mother in your life. I had people like that in my life, thank God. But the good news says it this way. I send greetings to Rufus, the outstanding worker in the Lord's service. I want you to remember that name, Rufus. I send greetings to Rufus, the outstanding worker in the Lord's service, and to his mother, who has always treated me like a son. Now think about this. Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote three-thirds is a whole, by the way, in case you don't know. If you didn't know that, Synergy School of Tomorrow, we're doing some classes there. You can come. But two-thirds of the New Testament is written by the Apostle Paul, who was at one stage really against what he started writing and teaching. He was totally against it. And so he was touched by this woman that actually raised him as her own. Because he's saying, was a mother to me and who treated me always like a son. That means she would give him advice. That means she would tell him stories. And there's one story she must have told him. Because I'm going to show you who Rufus is. How many of you know who Rufus is? Okay, we're going to tell you about Rufus in a moment. He was a son of Simon of Cyrene, who carried Simon of Cyrene carry the cross of Christ. Remember when they were walking and towards the end of the journey, they grabbed a man, Simon of Cyrene, to carry the cross of Christ on the last leg of his painful journey up to Golgotha. Rufus was a son of Simon of Cyrene. Now, some scholars allude to the fact, in fact, there were two sons. It was Rufus. Now, Cyrene is a place called Libya. How many of you know Libya today? It was from Libya that he came from, and he had a brother, Alexander, as well. So he had Alexander and Rufus, and some scholars are of the opinion that they were with him coming from Libya, because how many of you know it was a time of the feast of the first fruits that weekend? And so he would have probably brought his children with him. So a lot of scholars say they were with him. Now this, watch here. Okay, Mark 15:21 says here, a passerby named Simon, who was from Cyrene, which is Libya, was coming in from the countryside just then. And the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus. Does it say? It should have said it up there, because that's part of the actual scripture. Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus. Now, we just read a little while ago that he said good news out of the good news from Romans 16:13. I send greetings to Rufus, that outstanding worker in the Lord's service. That is a Rufus, that Simon was a father of Alexander and Rufus. So now, remember Paul said, and she was like a mother to me. She raised me as her own. Well, if you think about her husband's amazing encounter with Jesus, I mean, I cannot imagine it. That picture doesn't do it any justice. I cannot possibly imagine. You're walking, you're coming to Jerusalem now, and you're going to be a part of the festival that's taking place, and you're bringing your first fruits, and you're coming with all the other people that are coming from other nations, coming from all of Israel, and there are thousands of people, and you come again, and you walk into this whole situation that's happening, unaware of it. But yeah, they've got Jesus on the road to Golgotha, and they're whipping him, and he's got the cross on his back, and he's got thorns in his head, and he's bleeding, and there's a ruckus, and there's just craziness happening around. And can you imagine? He walks up, he looks at this, and a soldier grabs him. And here he's face to face with a bleeding, dying for us Messiah. I mean, that to me is like just mind-boggling. Do you imagine that day would have affected his life for all of eternity? Whether Jesus was a Christ or not, he was the Christ, and he is the Christ, right? The anointed one and his anointing. But even if he wasn't, just the mere fact that he had to do what he did, a man flogged, beaten, thorns in his head, being whipped while he's walking, falling and dropping and standing up, and you come face to face with this man, and he is the actual living Savior. That affected Simon the rest of his life.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to traditionworshipcenter.com or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. with youth and children's services available, located at 10799 Southwest Civic Lane, Port St. Lucie, in our beautiful Tradition Square Town Hall facility.
Good Country homestyle cooking is found at Crossroads Restaurant, your place for beef and pork roast, chicken and dumplings, fried turkey breast with lots of veggies and salad bar. Family owned and operated since 1991, Crossroads Restaurant is open 5:30 to 2:30, Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 7 to 2:30. Takeout orders available. Crossroads Restaurant, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, located on Highway 70 at Posey's Corner, available at